Hey guys, welcome to the Game Boomers podcast. This is our first podcast at a time. For right now, we only have three people. We have different people who will be rotating in and out. But for now, why don't Ian start with the introductions?
So, I'm Ian. My online handle is Unholy Resonance, and I'm a streamer and general community builder. I've been playing different types of video games for years and years, and for me, they've been a great way to kind of socialize and have fun with people that I wouldn't normally get to socialize with. I've had the awesome opportunity of meeting people from around the world, and I feel like this is a very social experience. And I'm currently going to school for software development, and I just enjoy talking about video gaming in general. I think it's an awesome topic, and this, my side of the commentary at least, will be on things like up-and-coming tech, and bits of information that I think are interesting and fun, just things that kind of catch my eye, I suppose.
And I'm Lauren. My usernames are usually Lovely Skylark. If it's not that, it's something very similar. I use that for almost everything, and the thing that I'm probably going to focus more with this podcast is the art section of it, because I'm going to school for game art design, and I've always been a designer or an artist. I can't remember a time where I haven't done anything like that, so it'll be very interesting, because the way I like to look at things is, you know, mostly art. I haven't played a ton of video games, like, well, I do, but just not as much as everybody else here has. I'm more of the artist type, really. But I will definitely talk about, you know, my opinions on how things look and how they're laid out. So maybe if some of you like things that look pretty but don't have necessarily a great gameplay, my opinion would probably matter.
And I'm Gothini. I pretty much go by that everywhere. My name's actually Catherine, but most people just refer to me as Teeny or Goth Teeny or Goth. I actually run GameRumors.net, which is the forum that this podcast is for. And I also am a streamer, and I am hopefully going to open a retro game store by the end of this year online. I kind of revolve around anything. I don't play FPS games. They tend to give me a headache. But I am a PC gamer and a console gamer, mainly consoles in a way. I grew up with consoles. I actually just got started on PC gaming this year. Actually, technically last year, now that's 2014. And my opinions, a lot of it's going to revolve around how it's kind of retro-ish, because I'm more of a retro gamer than anything. I really like 8-bit, 16-bit graphics and stuff like that. But I like platformers, puzzle games, all that kind of stuff. But I tend to look at news on all different kinds of topics, mainly for my forum, because I want to keep people informed. But my opinion's kind of crazy at times, because I am disabled, so things like Kinect and stuff like that don't exactly piss me off, but I do have strong opinions about it at times. So I'm a little weird like that. You'll get used to it, I think.
And we'll love her for it forever.
Of course.
So I think, what were you going to say?
One of the big things that I'm really interested in right now is there's rumors Rock Band might be coming back. Like any of the music games, Rock Band and Guitar Hero, Dance Central as well. They're talking about wanting to bring them back after they've been on hiatus for like 3 years now. There's not one currently in production, but they want to do it. And I don't know if it's a good idea, because they kind of seem to just gather dust. I mean, I have 3 guitars, a drum set, and I also want to get a keyboard for Rock Band 3, but I can't see getting it for the next-gen consoles. It's way too expensive. What about you guys?
You first.
I don't know. I've always liked the Guitar Hero Rock Band scene. I always had a lot of fun of it because I actually played guitar for years and years, and I still do off and on. So getting into a game and being able to play something that I wasn't actually able to play on my own was a really fun experience for me, and I often pushed myself to the limits a lot. Back in Guitar Hero 3, the biggest achievement you could do was beat Through the Fire and Flames on expert. And,
oh, gosh.
I was able to do it.
And you're kidding me.
Yeah.
You showed it to me when I first met him.
Yeah, that's I did the awesome. Whole tapping segment where both hands on the thingy.
It was insane.
Super fun game. And I would love to see that kind of come back, because that was a more community friendly kind of game. And I have kind of a bad stigma about online gaming. A lot of it tends to just be ragers and people who aren't a lot of fun. Of course, you always do find the fun people, but
like us.
Most of the time, you have to wade through the people who aren't all that much fun, and that can be a brutalizing experience for people, especially people who aren't used to that type of behavior. So Rock Band and Guitar Hero were a great way to kind of relieve stress, for me at least, when I'd been playing Halo or Call of Duty all day, and I was getting annoyed with getting trash-talked or not doing well. Rock Band and Guitar Hero were kind of my fallbacks, so they were kind of not my go-to, but definitely my fallbacks when other things weren't going quite as well.
It's more of like a relaxing game in a way, even though it's very energetic.
Yeah, I remember my whole family used to play it together, and that was a lot of fun. Nothing is more entertaining than watching your really, really, really uptight mother rock out to some old hits from the 80s. It's hilarious, and it's fun to watch people in your family unwind like that. My father was a police officer, my mother's a network architect, so watching them relax like that was kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, which didn't come up very frequently. So Rock Band and Guitar Hero kind of hold a special place in my heart, just because it was one of the very few family things we ever got to do together.
So. My cousins, with huge events that they pull, they always have, like, maybe happy hour on Friday nights, and Easter, they got a new house, so they absolutely adore, love showing it off and partying and all of that sort of thing. And that's one of the things that they always do. Whenever you're trying to find something to do, they're like, let's break out Rock Band. And they do it all the time.
It's totally true, though. They do it every time.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so fun.
It is, except for my cousin, well, their son. They've got two sons. One of them is a teenager now, and he is, oh my God. He's like the typical teenager that hates doing things with his parents. So whenever his mom's always like, you're going to play this, you're going to play that, you need to play it, be part of the family, blah, blah, blah. He absolutely hates it. And it came to a point at one time where he broke the Rock Band disc because he didn't want to play it anymore. And you know what my other cousins did? Well, his parents did. They went out and bought another disc. That's how much they love that game.
Awesome.
So
it is one of the very few family games, in my opinion.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean,
I recently, like, I'd say about 5 months ago or so, when my dad retired, we got some Wii guitars at a yard sale for like $5 a piece that I was eventually going to resell in my store, since it is becoming retro in a way because we're in the next gen.
True.
But we decided to keep it, and I got them Rock Band, the Beatles version of Rock Band, and a couple different Guitar Hero games. They haven't played it yet, but they keep planning on doing it. It's just things haven't worked out yet, but they're so excited to play that. Have you guys heard of, what is it called? It's Rock Hero, I think it's called.
Is that the one
that,
with the actual instruments?
Yes.
Like the guitar with the actual six strings?
Yeah, have you tried that?
I played it once at PAX. I think it was 2012. I think it was at 2012 PAX Prime. And like I said, I've played guitar for years. And you can actually change the difficulty in the songs, from what I remember. This may have been a demo thing, so forgive me if that didn't come out in the actual release, but you could change the actual difficulty of the song, therefore actually changing the frets at which you played notes. Now, since I played a lot of music, that really didn't go over well with me, because there are, you know, there are a million different ways to play a song, but if you're going to play it the original way, you should use the original frets and the original everything.
Yeah.
Changing the difficulty changed almost everything about the song except for maybe your chorus. And being an actual guitarist and actually playing guitar for years, it wasn't similar. Even playing songs I did know and I knew how to play, I would put them on to expert or hard or, you know, whichever.
I can do this. It's not a problem. I got this.
Yeah. And the frets would be entirely different. And that was a little bit frustrating for me because, you know, seemed like a fun type of game for somebody who already plays the instrument because, I mean, who wouldn't want to combine the instrument they already play in a video game?
Well, you know, it's different when it comes to, you know, things like drums and guitar. I mean, if it's a song, you can sing it, like, the same pitches twice.
Right.
But, like, I agree with you when it comes to actual, like, guitars and stuff. I could see it. For me, I'm not very much of a guitar player. I was always the singer, so I always, you know, I played Guitar Hero, but the only song I was actually good at was Nirvana. And that was it, and that's because it's fairly easy. But, you know, I never really could play it very well. I mean, it was fun to pass the time, but then after a while I got kind of bored because I could never do it, so I just pretty much did it to listen to the music.
Yeah.
And so I basically prefer Rock Band in a sense because, you know, I can sit there and suck at drums and not worry about it, but I'm not constantly playing, you know, the guitar. I can find a song that I like to sing and I can sing that song and, you know.
You never even have to play drums if you don't want to. You can just sing.
Exactly.
I don't know, but everyone always made me play drums because I was the percussionist.
Fair enough.
I always got stuck with that. At the Votech that I went to, when we had, like, year-end parties or semester-end parties, we always had a Rock Band there to play. And I always got stuck with percussion. No matter how many people were playing, they still stuck me with drums.
Aww.
It depended on how much...
guitar.
Depended on how much liquor I'd had, but I almost always went for guitar. And if I didn't, I went to sing. And if any of my friends were there, they would not let me. That's a horrifying experience. Too much liquor and singing on Rock Band for me is definitely not a great combination.
It's true. No, we should record it sometime.
No, we should.
It would be pretty entertaining.
I disagree.
I don't know.
So, what do you guys think about Magic, the 2015 not coming to PlayStation?
It's really confusing.
Well,
I mean, they haven't said anything about that yet.
Yeah, the only thing I can find is on IGN.
Yeah, they were saying that it's coming to, like,
PC, Xbox One, and the 360, but not to PlayStation 3 or 4. It was interesting to specify the Xbox 360, the Xbox One, but nothing else. So, which I don't have a problem with, because I'm an Xbox fanboy, but, you know...
Mm-hmm. From what I heard, there was, like, a ton of players on the PlayStation version of it. To just, like, shut them out seems kind of weird.
It
might be a timed exclusion, though, I guess.
That's true. It would be weird for the revenue stream, though, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It would just not sell as well, I don't feel like.
IGN seems to think that it's possible that Microsoft picked up the rights to the Magic game. And if that's not it, they think it might be a possibility of not being able to find the right, like, formatting for the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4.
That's true.
Which would make sense. But
yeah, it might be a situation to where they can format it to work with the PS3, but they don't want to have it just for the PS3 because it shuts out PS4, so just take it out altogether, I guess?
Yeah, I mean,
I could kind of see that.
Yeah, I mean, if we were to shift the whole thing again, it would be like kind of like how Borderlands, the next Borderlands, isn't coming to,
which is so weird,
the Xbox One and things like that. It is strange.
I don't know. It might be because they were doing all the programming for the engine itself and it only works with the younger gen. It might not work with the newest one.
Well, the way I kind of look at it is like this. I mean, the Xbox One came out really recently. And so if this game is coming out, and you know this game's coming out, and you're a really big Borderlands fanatic, you're probably going to want to keep the 360. I mean, we're keeping the 360.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, Netflix and what I need to do for my schooling, because I'm awesome and get to play video games for school. But
you'll tell us about that.
I'll go back to doing math.
I don't know. I mean, I'm excited for the new Borderlands. I mean, yeah, it kind of sucks we aren't going to be able to play it on, like, our huge screen TV because we're lazy Americans and we don't want to move our consoles over.
When you say the next Borderlands, do you mean it's the Telltale version or is it the actual next Borderlands, like the third one?
It's the, pre-sequel?
Yeah, the pre-sequel.
It's the time between Borderlands 1 and 2, and it follows the story of Handsome Jack, and you actually play, which I am super stoked to play, you actually play as one of his lieutenants, and I don't remember the three options right now. I just remember Wilhelm, which if you played Borderlands 2, you grew to love him and hate him all at the same time, all in one level.
Wait, I got which ones you'll be able to play.
Yeah.
Oh, where'd it go?
I remember there's another one I recognized, but I don't remember the name. I just remember Wilhelm.
Athena the Gladiator, Wilhelm the Enforcer, Nisha the Lawbringer, and Fragtrap, which is like
the death trap, basically.
Yeah, it's a badass version of Claptrap. I love Claptrap. Oh my god, he made me laugh. And the song too. That song.
Yeah, I am super excited to see what that gameplay will hold. I am also not super excited to play it on an Xbox 360. But I still hold faith that it might come out on a next-gen console. I'm still holding faith. Yeah. We'll see when they make their official announcements, but
they might do like a later release like they have for some of the games that came out middle of last year.
Speaking of...
Wait. All things considered, I think it'll be a ton of fun to play as the villains for once.
That does sound like a fun thing. Even though I've never played like any of the Borderlands, I've played 10 minutes of the first Borderlands so far. But even just playing enemies, it just sounds like so much fun. I always want to do that.
Yeah, the enemies always seem infinitely more fun to play as than the actual protagonist.
It gets kind of boring after a while being the good guy 24/7.
Mm-hmm. And in Arkham Asylum, when on the, I think it's just the PlayStation version, you can play as the Joker on certain challenge maps. That was so much fun. Like, he has so many weaknesses with it, but just beating up different guards is just way too much fun.
Being the Joker is fun.
Yeah, exactly. I cannot wait to play as Harley Quinn with the next game. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. It's going to be so cool. I don't care if it's even just challenge maps. It's going to be fun being Harley Quinn.
Right?
Oh my gosh.
Following the trend of games that came out earlier and have a release date set for later. The Titanfall Xbox 360 edition should be coming out soon. I don't know the actual release date. I don't think they've set one yet.
I don't think they have yet either.
But they did just release some information stating that Titanfall will not be available for purchase on the Games on Demand service, which Xbox 360 fans have come to love. Now, that's an interesting kind of topic. I do like seeing games come out in a cloud format, especially on consoles. That's kind of something that I've been waiting to happen for a while now. but to see such a behemoth like Titanfall not being done in that manner is just kind of strange to me. I feel like that would kind of be a no-brainer. I actually have a quote from one of their spokesmen. They said, "After extensive testing, we felt that it simply did not represent the true Titanfall experience, and it was decided not to release a games-on-demand version. So you will only be able to buy it on a disc," which is kind of strange, kind of nice at the same time. I really do like the idea of being able to, you know, download content, but I also like having the physical copy with me.
I feel like it's more rewarding with the physical content because you can actually sit there and hold it and be like, I got this. But if you got it like digitally, you're like, oh yeah, I got that game. You're not like sitting there searching through your whole collection trying to find that one game. You're just like, oh yeah, I got that
game. It's not like something to where you find it years later. You're like, oh, I love this game. I want to play it again. Because it's going to be on the 360 or it's going to be on the Xbox One. And by then, you'll be on the Xbox 5 million and you'll forget all about that system and not have it anymore.
Yep.
So it's one of those... It's weird things. Like, there are people I understand with the digital thing, because I do have a lot of digital games on my PS3 that I've been game free with the PS Plus thing. But there are games that you really like to play and you're just too lazy to go up and get it, and that's fine. But it's also really taxing on people's internet, so I can see why, in a way, that they wouldn't have it. Because from what I heard, Titanfall was a humongous file for the Xbox One. And that's why they were letting people download it like 3 days early. They weren't able to play it, but they were able to start to download to beat the server issues. Because it was such a huge file.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember hearing about that too, which is an interesting way to do it. It worked, I'm sure. I don't know. I bought the physical copy. The thing for me is I'm a collector. I like having the hard copy in my hands. Not to mention, I like all the fancy little doodads that come with it. I enjoy
it. That's why we got the collector's edition of Darksiders.
Exactly. That's why I went out and searched all around the greater Seattle area to find...
And traded in some old games. Just to get it. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I mean, the mask it came with is phenomenal.
And the artwork is really,
oh my
really
God.
Unique.
The concept art is just...
Oh, I love so the concept amazing. Art stuff oh that you can God. Get.
It's so gorgeous.
Just concept art you can unlock in the games when you're playing games. It's just amazing to see what they thought about it beforehand. And to see how things change is just beautiful.
Oh, yes. It's so amazing. But, like, whenever we pre-ordered Titanfall and we went to go pick up the actual copy, you know, we got a huge, gigantic poster of it. We're going to hang up in our room somewhere. It's...
Yeah.
Oh, it's so great.
I love stuff like that. I actually missed out on getting the collector's edition of Arkham Origins. My town said that they were sold out, even though I was pre-ordering. I don't even know if any actually came to the town, because my town is stupid and doesn't order very much. But I got the regular version of it, which it turned out I was very lucky, because my town did not get it on time. They actually didn't get the collector's edition until Monday. And it came out on the Friday. So I looked out there. But I actually went and ordered a collector's edition of it, I'd say 3 months later off eBay, and sold the game for like $40. So I spent maybe $50 on collector's edition, which is about what you normally would spend. But the artwork in it is just beautiful. Well, I mean, $50 plus the game. So
fair enough.
It was just kind of beautiful to see how the different things are. And like with the Arkham Origins thing, you got a statue. And it had actually a little secret compartment that had a black bag. And inside, like on top of the bag, it said, spoiler alert, do not open unless you played the game. Because the statue actually changes to match with the game itself. But if you don't want it spoiled for you, because it's like halfway through the game that stuff is revealed. Mm-hmm. And so it comes with a little spoiler-free bag, and you don't even find the bag until you're just searching around the whole statue, because it has lights and all that kind of stuff you can turn on. I just love stuff like that. I love the statues you can get with collector's editions. There are some really cool ones out. There's also some really cheap ones, and you're just like, I paid this much for it, but
I feel like I should be getting more with this.
Yeah,
my
and just this collector's edition. Cough, cough. Gosh, the statue is amazing, but it's so cheaply made. It's broken. Oh, I have to glue it together. It sucks.
my favorite collector's edition that I ever bought was Halo Reach, the Legendary Edition. Was really kind of huge. It actually came with a huge statue of all of the members of the squad you played in. It came with a book or a journal from one of the main characters, and it actually detailed a lot of information about the Covenant and the Flood. Well, I guess not actually the Flood, but the Covenant which was really cool getting to read that kind of stuff. It also came with a big old box thing that came with the game. I don't know. It was huge.
Oh, wow.
It was, I think it ran like about $180, though, but I got it for a discount because my mother worked for Microsoft. So
nice.
So I picked up the discount on that, and I got it for the same price as a normal game would have been. But that was definitely something that would have probably been worth $180 to spend on it in the first place. It was a lot of really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, speaking of collector's edition, there is a collector's edition of a game coming out that you actually don't get the game with it. Have you heard about that?
No.
Let's see. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It's the collector's edition for Wolfenstein, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah, the Wolfenstein collection edition. You don't get the game with it. It's like $100. You get a statue and a little box. You even get a metal case for the game.
Just
no game.
That statue is
sounds
very
like Wolfenstein.
Well made. I hope it's just not a paperweight.
Well, it looks big enough to be a paperweight, but it looks actually really cool. It looks like it's made from metal, and it looks really detailed.
That
but
might actually
still,
be worth it. But I mean,
it's weird to have a collector's edition without the game itself. That actually kind of seems like it's a popular thing that's happening lately. Because I think I've heard of other ones that are thinking of doing that. It's just like, why would you do that? A lot of people buy collector's edition stuff to get the game with it. Because, I mean, I kind of understand if it's like a collector's edition that comes out at a different time. Because originally it sounded like the collector's edition for that was supposed to come out like, I think it was maybe a month before the game itself. So it wasn't really spoiler, but it was just like something you can have to enjoy before the game itself came out.
Right.
But then the game got moved forward and now they come out the same day. So I don't know. It's just, it seems really weird to me that people would do that. I can see people doing it, but it's pretty expensive.
Well, I mean, it's nice having it all together. I mean, like, what if you can only afford to get the collector's edition, and then you go back and you get the game, and the game's sold out? Or what if you only have enough money to get the pre-order on the game, but you want the collector's edition, and you can't get the collector's edition?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you see the easy solution, don't you?
Go back and get the collector's edition?
Nope. Got a better job.
Oh.
I was going to say, rob a bank or something and get more money.
I guess that's an option.
Yeah, not the best option, but it is one.
Yeah. Speaking of things, do we want to talk about the confusion of Halo 5?
Yes. I'm confused by it all.
Why is he wearing a cloak?
Why is he in the middle of the desert? Surely that thing is air-conditioned.
Surely there are... I could bring up a number of reasons as to why I don't understand why he's filling up...
So.
Why he's wearing a cloak.
You could bring up so many options on that. You know, Halo better
for
than...
For one, he's 7.5 feet tall. The cloak is not going to hide his height, nor his human-looking figure. So nothing is going to think that he is anything other than Chief. I'm sorry.
And what the hell is the bird thing?
That's Promethean.
Well, yeah, I know it's Promethean, but I mean, like... Why?
Well, because that's the new antagonist.
It goes with the cloak. It's a hack deal.
Window shopping.
Exactly. Oh, I just saw a cash register
like
when
cloak.
I buy his cloak. Just get it.
The big freaking bird flies up over the side of the desert section and sees him. He's like, oh, that's the cloak. He got the last one, that bastard.
Oh, my God.
Let's attack him. I don't care who he is. Master Chief and all, I gotta get that cloak. Or I'm gonna die trying.
Yeah, I don't understand why he's wearing a cloak. I am really excited to see where the franchise goes from here. 343, in my opinion, has done a really good job of continuing the franchise from, you know, taking it out of Bungie's loving, tender hands.
Oh, Bungie.
And Bungie bringing us a brand new gift coming in this September, which I am
Destiny.
Extremely excited for. I've had my pre-order on it since the day I could put it.
We still have the poster.
I got the pre-order poster, and it's up somewhere or down, rolled up somewhere. I don't know. It's kept safe, though.
Either way, though, the artwork on that is just phenomenal.
Yeah, Bungie.
The concept artist for that is just, Bungie's the best of the best, though. What do you expect?
Yeah, Bungie really is kind of one of the leading developers right now, not because they have a large following, but because of the fact that they have produced so many massively popular games over the last years. I mean, Halo was an instant hit and sold...
Still is.
Yeah, sold millions of copies, I believe. I don't know the exact figures on that. I'm wrong.
It wouldn't shock me if it were millions.
I'm sure if you connected all of the series together, it would equal that.
If but not more.
On top of that, they had their original Marathon games as well as their Myth games, which was one of the very first RTS-style games I ever played. So, Destiny. Enough said.
very excited.
I'm very excited, and I will be bringing more information on that as soon as it's released. The beta should be up eventually, and I'm waiting. Still waiting. Don't know when that'll be live, but I am really excited to play it and spend...
The games have sold over 50 million copies worldwide, according to Wiki.
Wow. Already.
That's crazy.
Not shocking.
That's
no, it's not,
awesome.
But it's still crazy. But,
yeah, exactly. Oh, the number is crazy, but I mean, whenever you look at the whole, like, series and everything like that, it's just, it's great. I never really got into Halo until Halo 4 after watching Ian and a friend of ours play it. And, you know, the graphics in that game.
Were fun.
My they only experience with Halo is testing the copies I have to sell in my store. That's the only experience I have of it.
I am so not good at Halo. I'm not good at FPSs, but I try. You know, I get a gold star for effort.
Of course.
Looking at all the pretty pictures and stuff. It's probably why I die so much. I'm like, look at that sunset off in the corner.
Oh, gosh.
Design.
I have a tendency to just wander around any, like, scene I'm in a game and just, like, look at every single little thing.
Just, like, just figure out. Wow, that's pretty. Oh, God, what's killing me?
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. I've died so many times because I was looking at, like, something that was on a shelf in the background.
Sounds like Warframe.
You gotta stop small roses. Oh, Warframe is very pretty. I wish my computer could handle it.
It looks
really Warframe, for being a free-to-play, is actually surprisingly good. I have spent...
Way too much time on it.
I have spent a collective 70 hours playing that game now, and
I've been playing it for like a week.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's all he ever talks about. He comes into the bedroom, he's like, I got a new Warframe in the works, and 2 days from now I'm going to play the hell out of that.
I finally finished my first Warframe today, aside from the starting Warframe. I guess I did, 5 a.m. this morning. which I was still awake to play.
He wouldn't go to bed.
I finished my Saren Warframe, which I am very pleased about. Warframe also just released its newest updates. Update 13 brought a whole slew of new stuff into it. It brought stance mods and a new Warframe and new missions to do.
And hot fixes.
And tons of hotfixes.
I started playing it right after that patch went out, and I opened up a life capsule, and I couldn't move, and I had to melee my way around. And
it sounded very amusing.
Which we didn't know could be solved with
opening another one. That would require me to melee my whole way there, and I think my hand would have cramped by then.
I'm not sure. It might have been fun, though.
I gotta get there, guys. I'm coming. Slowly but surely.
Yeah, I don't know. I am very addicted to Warframe right now, and I'll definitely be bringing more information in on that once I'm done farming materials, I guess. I'm not sure.
I'll get there eventually.
I'll find new stuff to bring eventually.
Like it kind of replaced Hawken in your eyes.
Hawken? After the last patch went live,
beta.
Yeah, after I took a breather from Hawken, I still am. Hawken is a ridiculously fun game. Mech games are... I'm hoping this is the year for more of them. I'd love to see more.
Oh, it's gotta be. I mean, there's Titanfall, there's Hawken. You know, I could see this being the year of mechs. I mean, we had zombies last year.
Yeah, and then what, vampires?
Zombies are every year.
Yep. Fair enough, yeah.
And then the year before that, it was sandboxes.
Oh, yes.
But
a lot of sandboxes are coming out again. I love it.
It's true. I just kind of joined the bandwagon here on Terraria just recently, and that's been a ton of fun. Terraria.
Starbound.
Starbound.
Mm. Yeah, I love Starbound.
How many
Starbound
hours do I have on Starbound now? Up 60 hours on that now.
Only 60?
I love Starbound.
Only 60, I know.
I have 154.
I was going to say, I'm not sure if I want to hear.
I have 44 hours.
Yeah, we all got it the same day, because Ian was nice.
I did. I bought everybody Starbound because people were all talking about how they wanted to play it, so I decided to buy the 4-pack because it was on sale, and I bought everybody a copy of it, and now we have a collective 200 hours played. So I'd
it's
say
a very fun time waster.
Yeah, tons of fun. And
there's only two things I have a problem with when it comes to Starbound. One, we started to build a castle on a planet, and we had been working on it for a couple days, I think it was, and we went back down to it, and it was all gone.
And the server.
The planet
everything
wiped.
Changed when the server attacked.
Right? And the other thing I have with it is I had a chef on my ship, and then one day I get on Starbound, and my chef left.
And then you got another one, and it left.
I hope my dog's still there.
I have a chef still on my ship. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, you lost your account, your character, the first day.
That's right.
True.
Yeah,
I had my
so much time on that.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time grinding up one of my first characters, and he got lost. Rest in peace, Crackberry.
Yeah. I've been a lucky one, knock on wood, so far to have nothing go wrong like that. I'm so lucky.
Maybe it likes you more because you played more Terraria than the rest of us have.
Maybe.
The game's thinking she's worthy.
Of course. I'm currently
worthy.
At 120 hours
for Terraria. We're not worthy.
Oh, wow.
The sad part is, like, the thing with Starbound, it's actually I found out a, spiritual successor to Terraria. One of the main people of Terraria actually worked on Starbound. That's why everything was calling it, like, a sequel, but it's not really.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a direct sequel, but I would call it a...
games like Pixel Piracy and... I think it's Space Engineer? No. I think it's Space
Engineer. Edge of Space.
Edge of Space, yeah, that.
Yeah, I remember it.
Those two suck so badly. I can't play them. I love games like this, and I cannot play them. The Edge of Space thing, the tutorial in it sucks to me. Like, it doesn't explain things correctly. I went around the stupid tutorial thing for 10 minutes trying to figure out how to do one thing because it didn't tell you, like, one step in it. And that one step was, like, the most confusing and important thing ever, I swear.
Oh, yeah.
And then with Pixel Piracy, I don't understand how to play it. I actually got off the stupid island that you start on. I had already hired people. But for some reason, those people did not follow me onto my ship. They stayed on the island. I guess I wasn't paying them enough, or they wanted to keep partying, or something.
Vacation's not over till I say it's over.
Exactly. I actually have a copy of Pixel Piracy. I have a copy of Edge of Space to give away at some point. But I don't want to give it away until I figure out a reason people would want to play it. I want to be nice like them. Be like, hey, this is actually a good game now. But I haven't found that yet. I'll have to try it again sometime. I only tried Edge of Space for 40 minutes. Maybe I should give it more time. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, for me, when it comes to Starbound and things of the, like, you know, graphics and everything. I mean, obviously, it's an 8-bit game, so I'm not going to get, you know, stellar imagery. But I love Starbound because of all the different colors and everything. It's so colorful.
You just have
different races.
Like different. Like
and how the glitch mob, or not glitch mob, wow. How the glitch castle is glitchy. Yes.
I don't think they meant to do that.
I don't think they did either. But it's pretty funny. I mean, you can be like, you can be the Glitch, which is kind of like these robotic castle people. You can be Avian, which is a bird, and you can change the way those look. You can be a human, or you can be an ape. You can be a fish.
And supposedly before, you couldn't drown when you're a fish, but they took that stuff out.
Like, and you could, like, jump higher as a bird.
Yeah.
I think that would have been fun to keep it in there. But
I think they might put it back in. They couldn't get it to work correctly, I think.
Yeah,
it was probably with those little boost things that you can get that like to burn you or poison you. Gosh.
Yeah, that's fun. So talking about, you know, betas and things like that, I think we could talk about Dawn Gate's open beta.
Oh, Dawn Gate's so much fun.
Yeah,
it's like Earth Mode, but a little slower. Not much slower, but a little slower.
Yeah, not by much, though. Dawn Gate has kind of taken off in the last couple days, or last couple weeks, I should say. Yeah. Although the beta doesn't seem to have a whole bunch of people on it yet, I think it'll take off once a little more variety is introduced. Your champion select is admittedly a little sparse. But that is not necessarily a bad thing because it does allow you to get very familiar with very few characters. So being able to solo queue in that game is very easy because,
it's only a select amount.
Yeah, you already know most of the characters and, you know, you'll be able to pick a fallback in case somebody picks your quote unquote main. Which is kind of a cool concept. The problem I have with League of Legends, it's not a big problem, admittedly, but 118 champions, 114, 118, I'm going to go 115 because it's close enough in the middle. there's so many to pick from, and hard to pick which one you're gonna play this game.
That's why it's like the most fun that we click random, like constantly, mm-hmm. and then just be like, okay, that's the one we play.
Yep.
When we're all just goofing off, it's so much fun.
Yeah, I like, call it like the 5 random rule where you hit random 5 times and then play a lane with it.
10 times.
Is it a 10 random rule? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a fun way to play the game, especially mm-hmm. if you're not super comfortable playing with a big champion pool.
Yeah, well, if you have a full team, it works out well so you don't get all the ragers. That's the thing I like about Dawn Gate is that so far there aren't very many people that will rage at you. It's all a very nice community and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, definitely.
You get the occasional rager, but when don't you, really? The loading sequence is really nice because you don't have a loading page to load in on. So you pick your character and then you pick your masteries or your runes, whichever those technically are. So you pick that and then you wait a little bit and you pick your masteries and you wait a little bit and then you're in the game immediately.
You pick your role perks and your loadout. Those were
I like the role perks thing because you can play like a mage but have like the regular carry stuff to where you're just getting the farm. So it's like you're playing ADC with APC powers. And you don't have to like stick to a meta with that. You can be very creative with how you play.
Mm-hmm.
And
only
the
having
lane
two
one
lanes.
Jungle is really cool too.
Oh gosh, yeah. Except that jungle is so confusing. I don't know if I could ever jungle in that. I don't understand how it works. I really don't.
Took somebody being on my stream while I was playing it to explain to me how exactly it worked. You go from top to bottom, you either start power or armor and work your way down, taking the haste buff in the middle, and then you gank lanes as you see fit. My main jungle is Volok, which is an easy, easy jungle, and I would recommend
He's
that to anybody.
OP. Yeah.
He is. I wanted to say
he's
no.
Scary to go against.
He's strong. No, he's pretty broken right now. His lifesteal and just his damage output is phenomenal, especially when built as a tanky bruiser. He definitely can carry his role as a carry bruiser, quote unquote. So I would definitely recommend that to anybody who wants to get into jungling at Dawn Gate. One of his abilities allow you to passively lifesteal on each ability and attack, so you know, making a few mistakes you can actually afford to do in this jungle route rather than in League, where if you're playing somebody like Elise, one mistake can be the end of the game for you. So that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. If I ever try jungle, I might try with him because you know me, I'm not very used to jungling with anything yet in any game.
Mm-hmm. I pretty much main jungle in everything. That's my favorite role most of the time.
Yeah, I'm so used to, like, when I wasn't playing much League, I was watching my Clutch stream, and he was always playing jungle, which is fine. I got to learn how jungle worked in that way. But people would always yell at him, "You always blame the jungler." I'm just like, I don't want to be the one blamed because I suck. I mean, like, yeah, I suck, but it's not my fault the game was lost all the time.
It's true, so, I mean.
That's why I, like, always went to support at the beginning. Yep. So much easier to play. I mean, you still get yelled at by the ADC, but it's a little easier. Or you get yelled at by a random person saying that Soraka's not a good person to have support because he can't do anything late game. And just like, that my heal.
I disagree.
Well, at that time I couldn't because I wasn't very good at playing in normals yet. But
we got you there.
I got used to it. I was dragged. I was like, Aram, no normals, okay.
Just, I don't really want to do normals. Well, that's too bad, because that's what we're going to do. Okay, I'll try.
Yeah.
And now you're ADCing.
Randomly.
Speaking about AD carrying.
Oh, God, yes.
That Twitch rework, though.
So it's pretty.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Oh, my God. I'm so glad the pizza feet are gone.
Yeah, it's a fantastic rework. It looks fantastic.
And he sounds amazing in it. He really does.
He does, and the splash art is just so terrifyingly beautiful. And the sounds, I mean, like, the sound whenever he shoots his crossbow is so great. And the little mice that appear for the little poison thing is
instead
so
cool. Instead of the crossbones?
Yes, mouse head with the crossbones. That's really cool, too. And I think, Teeny, and my favorite part about it is whenever you pop his Q and you go into your little invisible state, whenever you pop out of it, he has really funny, like, commentary that comes off of it. So, like, you'll sit there and you'll go into it and he'll go like, dun 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 dun. And whenever he comes out of it, he goes, "It was me." It's just, it's so good. Yeah,
it just sounds like something we would do. Like, when we're playing League of Legends, we randomly say stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
When we're sneaking up
a friend who, we were losing the game in League so hard, and he was just trying to run touchdowns. And running a touchdown means that you run from wherever you are, basically, without getting caught. You try to run to the enemy fountain.
And get executed by the enemy fountain's turret.
We do that whenever we have a fives team and we know we're going to lose. I mean, we don't rage, just pretty funny. But we were sitting there just trying so hard to win this game, and all of a sudden you just hear dun, 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 dun. And we look over and Ziggs is like right in their base.
Yeah, he's been satchel jumping over all their towers and walls.
It was amazing.
It's so great.
And the thing was, I watched the replay later because I use the LOL recorder thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out that they were signaling on top of him. The other team was. They were like, "He's right here," and no one was going to him.
Oh, that's so funny.
He's going to win.
It's hilarious. There's something I don't have to worry about him. But Nidalee had to worry. She had to wear a spear. Poor Ziggs.
Right.
Paul, the Nidalee spears. Is there any character like that on Dawnbreak? Not Dawnbreak. Dawngate? I don't think I've seen
any. I don't know. With a tower like that,
it sounds scary.
I don't know.
Oh my god, this sounds terrifying. One thing, though,
Oh my gosh.
One thing that I want to point out, though, is that all three of us are members of the PBE, so we keep fairly up to date with things that are happening, like the Twitch reworks and the SK Telecom skins.
Yeah, the kind of cool but kind of ugly skins.
I think Jax and Zed look awesome, but others are kind of strange looking.
I love the way Zed looks, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, compared but their splash art compared to the TPA splash art.
Jax looks frightening.
Jax does look frightening, but Jax is frightening in general.
Weird.
Jax is just menacing, though. I don't know. I think they did a good job on that skin. I like it.
I'm not saying
splash art itself.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's
a snowball to me. Just like this giant snowball that's rolling down the hill at you with his head sticking out.
I
can think about when I see that one.
Well, like, they're not bad skins. We actually have a link on the forum right now that we did with in-game models of all of the skins, as well as the Atlantean Syndra skin, which is
so pretty.
Gorgeous. The only thing I have a problem with is her balls.
Tend.
Wow, I can say that word. Tend to look kind of confusing. I could see if you have a Syndra and an Ami on the same team, it would get really confusing. I mean, I'm sure not.
New meta.
Actually, like,
it's kind of like having Snow Day Ziggs on A-Ramps. It's a little cheap.
Yes, it is.
It's a little bit.
Just a little bit.
There are certain skins that it just, people can do that. And it makes sense. But it's also like one of those situations of just change it a little bit. It won't be so cheaty. Just a little bit of a color change. But they won't do that. Not for a while anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I would like the new skins more if they changed their particle effects more. Like Zyro's plants and stuff like that. They look boring. I prefer her haunted skin.
Yeah.
Yeah, haunted.
Here.
Haunted Zyra is fantastic.
And also the random wings at Zyra's ears looks a little weird to me.
A little bit, yeah.
It's like it's a plant that's going to fly away.
I think the headsets look kind of funny to me.
They do a little bit. They're kind of a nice touch, though. I'll give it that. It's kind of a neat little touch, but I could have been worse. I'll put it that way.
It doesn't really fit to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I understand why they did it, but it doesn't really fit. I don't think they did it for TPA, did they?
Yeah, they did.
They did?
They have headsets.
TPA, Orianna. Okay. Yeah, I'm looking at TPA, Orianna now. Hold on. Oh, yeah. Okay, I've never noticed that. They seem very light.
Yeah, they're harder to see for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's because they're all, like, really bright red.
Yeah.
And so, Earth mode ended tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
If it hadn't been so laggy earlier when I was watching it, I would have been willing to play, but I did not want to deal with lag tonight.
I understand.
The servers seem to be getting bad again. Which I
haven't noticed anything.
EU West is always going to be really bad. And they have it worse than North America. But they're getting bad for North America in some parts. Like, I was watching Ami stream, and for the first 15 minutes, I believe it was off and on reconnection for every member on both teams. It got to the point where they were saying, just go towards mids and see if you can actually push it a little bit to get the minions at the turrets.
I haven't noticed any difference, really.
Yeah, I had a lot of reconnection issues earlier when I was doing the custom games on Earth, where I broke Baron.
I would like to point something out. I was just checking out the League of Legends website, and they just released a post about Ultra Rapid Fire mode, and here's what they said.
Okay.
Like a manatee waving a spatula as he fades into the distance, Ultra Rapid Fire is saying sayonara. Earth was never meant to be more than an April Fool's gag, but the community's response has been anything but a joke, so goodbyes need not be final. Ultra Rapid Fire will come back in one form or another, but like all featured game modes, it wasn't designed to live forever. Later this week, we'll be sharing more of our philosophy around featured game modes and a behind-the-curtain look at the development of Earth itself. In the meantime, recap all of the top community plays as well as professional Ultra Rapid Fire action. So, we'll see it again.
Oh, that's awesome.
I am so excited.
I just hope they keep the permabans on Nidalee and all that. And add Sion to that list, please.
Yeah.
Sion needs
body people is not fair.
Hashtag nerf Sion.
I did a game earlier. I did a custom game to try AP Sion because I suck with Sion. I don't play him. But I wanted to see his ratios and stuff like that. I wanted to see it firsthand. He has a 0.9 ratio for AP. And so, if you have 1,000 ability power, you're going to have over 1,000 of a shield to get through.
Yeah.
Before you can even start to damage him. That's just ridiculous. I mean, most people don't get that fed within the game itself. like in regular games. They don't just beat constant minions and ignore everything else to kill Baron later on like I do. But it's still just an insane idea to have that high of an AP ratio. Like, I don't understand why people don't play him more often if he's that good. It's I don't true. Know if it's because he's
I think
so
Sion
old.
Needs a rework.
He's just awkward?
I
like
think
visual,
he needs a visual
or...
update.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, not necessarily, like,
rework
or something, but at least update his splash art. I mean,
oh gosh, his splash art.
That Malphite splash art is terrifying.
It is. I can't imagine him updating the original Sion splash art to be, like, the same kind of genre the way they did the Malphite one. Just kind of look like it. That would be absolutely frightening to see that.
But it would make more people want to play him. I mean, look at what happened with Xerath. I feel like a lot more people play Xerath now.
Mm-hmm. But that wasn't a visual rework. That was a...
Yeah, well, it was a full rework, but...
A full rework. That makes a difference. Same with Heimerdinger. But the visual rework did bring a lot of Heims out. Which mm-hmm. is fun. But annoying, because every time there's one out, I'm not playing Heim, so I can't do my mirror lane.
Yeah.
I will eventually do that. I want to play Heim mirror lane so badly. With a good Heim, not a bad Heim who says that I'm a bad Heim because I didn't kill them. I'm just like, I was waiting for you to go in because you're at your turret. I'm not that stupid.
Yeah, exactly.
That is just, I don't know. There's a lot of champions who need a visual rework. I would love to see a Caitlyn visual rework. Just because I think they can make her just absolutely beautiful. It would just be amazing to see. Like, I want to see Arctic Caitlyn. I want to see a rework of that.
Oh, yeah.
It seems kind of like an awkward skin to me. In-game. Like, the splash art itself is okay. But in-game, I don't know. It seems a little awkward to me.
I agree.
Of course, a lot of her skins actually seem just a slight bit awkward. Not as bad as it could be, but... I don't know, like, actually just looking at Arctic Caitlyn now, mm-hmm. it looks like she has noodle arms.
Noodles.
They're bent really oddly in this screenshot. And it's when she's kneeling down doing her ult.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that definitely needs a rework. Because it's just kind of creepy.
I don't know. I agree.
But, noodle arms don't do it for me. They look weird. Especially when your hands are normal size and you have tiny arms.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be really cool to have more reworks, though.
Moving on. Mm-hmm. I think we should mention the whole thing about Microsoft's Siri.
Yeah.
Version of Siri.
Cool. I don't like Halo, and it sounds cool to me.
So, Microsoft is releasing an AI component to their Windows phones very similar to iPhone Siri called Cortana. Now, Halo fans will immediately jump and say, yay, Cortana is real. Well, she's not. But her capabilities are well within reach, I should say. Cortana is shaping up to be quite the runner for Siri. I watched a video earlier today, I watched several videos actually, outlining some general usage of Cortana, and she seems to be more functional than Siri. I do have an iPhone, and I very seldomly use Siri.
We have so many issues with Siri. She never wants to talk to me.
Yeah, she often will not take requests, quote-unquote, at this time.
I'm not taking requests at this moment.
She has an attitude, it sounds like.
She does.
It's not a whole lot of fun. One of the cool things that they were demoing on Cortana was the fact that you can actually put reminders into your phone. And let's say you needed to pick up some prescriptions at a Walgreens at this address. And this is exactly what the video used, so I'm using their example because this is what I have. So you tell Cortana that I want to pick up my prescriptions at Walgreens at this exact address, and when you drive by that address via GPS, Cortana will send you a reminder that says pick up your prescriptions. And if you have it running through Bluetooth, it'll butt in more than likely and will probably get annoying after a while, but then again, so is Siri. That type of reminder system sounds extremely handy.
That sounds very nice.
I wish Siri could do it. I know I'm very forgetful. I've got a lot to do. So having a secondary way to remind myself of things I need to do would be really, really nice, especially if I could do it once and then drive by, you know, oh, I need to pick up my dry cleaning at this place, and I drive by the location, and it lets me know, oh, don't forget, you need to do that. That sounds incredibly helpful, especially for me. That, and it just seems really cool, and I'm a Halo fan, so I'd love to have Cortana on my phone. Just saying.
Yep.
Yeah. It sounds cool, but also there's going to be people who are going to be really creep out about it. Like, can you turn off your GPS settings with Cortana, or does it always...
I'm assuming so.
Oh, I'm
there's
sure,
something
yeah.
in settings that I'm positive you can do.
Yeah.
Because all I can imagine is, like, people who can't, like, say, soldiers or whatever, who have a phone with them, they can't have the GPS going off because it can cause problems. That's why there was such an uproar about the Xbox One needing internet access, like, every day.
Right.
Though I'm not really sure how many soldiers have their Xbox with them, but I don't
know. Still,
I'm not a soldier, so it's one of those situations that it's just, I guess it's person by person how it would affect them. But it sounds really cool. And it would be nice to have more than just hearing about Siri from different people. Because just having different things would be nice. Anything that's competition for Apple actually is nice. But
alrighty.
Let's see. Is there anything else that we wanted to touch on before we end?
Well, I have a couple of quick things, just real fast.
Okay.
Following the new techie scene, I wanted to point out that the wearable scene seems to be kind of heating up, actually, with Google Glass releasing their trial run, which you can actually purchase at some point. I think it's either this month or next. It might be the month after, either May or June. You will actually be able to buy them, and they will be called the Explorer Edition, I think. And by no means are these going to be cheap to buy, but I'm really excited to hear what people are thinking about them. And I think that'll be really interesting because I think Google has a really solid idea. I don't know how well it will be executed, but I do think it'll be really cool to get a hands-on look at how that works. And my second tidbit is Razer is releasing a smart wrist device.
It looks
called
gorgeous.
The Razer Naboo, and it is available in four different colors. Haha, we get a color choice.
Yay, that's something nice.
It is connected via Bluetooth on your phone, and it is a personal, almost like an alert system.
It's kind of like a Fitbit, but it can do so much more.
It connects wireless or via Bluetooth with your phone and can display calls as well as text messages, as well as reminders and calendar dates and anything else. And you
can track how many steps you've taken.
Exactly. It comes with its own software to hook up to check steps and miles and... I think you can also check, like, average walk speed and average run speed and things like that.
It's
very interesting.
It's also waterproof. And they said that, you know, if you didn't want to take it off whenever you go take a shower, you can leave it on. It's not going to have a problem with something like that for us, especially in Seattle, because there's an ongoing gag when it comes to Seattleites that you can always tell which one a tourist is because they'll have the umbrella. So... it's kind of true in a sense because usually we're just like, oh, it's rain. Okay, let's go. So having something waterproof definitely helps in that situation. I mean, I'm not going to go buy a super expensive piece of equipment and wear it on my wrist only for it to get water damage and break the next hour.
You know, I'm wondering if that's going to work with the Omni Virtual Reality, which is that treadmill that works with the Oculus Rift.
It might. I don't know. That'd be interesting.
it's all, like, I mean, it's all gaming related in a way. Because the Omni thing is supposed to be, from what I understand, it's supposed to track, like, how you're walking to walk through, say, a path or a garden in a game to get to the next part. Instead of just looking around and using joysticks, you can actually walk that way, which, it's cool for people who can walk, put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, it'd be cool to see if it worked with that.
One thing
I would really like to see, like, I don't know how they would track it, but with that, if they could track how much you push, like, a wheelchair or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, record it the same way you could record steps. I think that would be an interesting stat to track. But I don't think anything can do that, because the way you push a wheelchair, it's a different movement.
Motion. Yeah.
I feel it's kind of different for everyone, too. I mean,
yeah.
I've never been in a wheelchair, but I'm assuming that there are different ways you can, you know.
Yeah, it really depends on how long you've been in a wheelchair as to how you push your wheelchair.
Yeah, I mean, some people are going to sit there and be like, you know, like the skateboarders that'll sit there and scoop back and do little tricks in their wheelchair and stuff like that. And you'll have ones that, you know.
Just push it normally and be boring.
Exactly.
Or you have people who are racers.
Like,
and
blistering.
They do, like, yes, they do, like, really long strokes with their pushing to get faster speeds and get to places easier.
It would be interesting to see.
Yeah, I think it would be an interesting study.
I think they should include it, though, too. I mean,
yeah,
it's kind of like, I feel like we don't spend a lot of time thinking about, you know, people that are disabled that play video games and things like that.
Yeah.
How do you think of someone being disabled? You automatically think of an older person that's not going to be interested in video games.
I fully agree. A lot, I feel lately that a lot of things are kind of moving away from everything being accessible for people. Because, like, Oculus Rift stuff, it's really hard for a lot of people who wear glasses to use stuff like that.
Yeah,
and then you have things for, like, Kinect and stuff like that, and people have problems with that because they're in wheelchairs or they can't stand up for long or stuff like that.
Exactly.
And it seems like they're kind of moving away from realizing everyone can play video games, even though they label it as a game everyone can play, even though it's not.
Rated E, except for whenever you're in a wheelchair.
Exactly.
Or you're confined to bifocals, you know.
Yeah. It's a weird situation. It's like people are trying to be more digital but not realizing what they're doing exactly. It's an odd situation.
I agree.
But anyway, it has been quite a while. We probably should wrap up then, huh?
More than likely.
Okay.
Either way, this has been a great podcast, and it was fun giving our two cents and seeing what you guys think. So feel free to let us know what you guys think and keep us updated on things that you think that we might want to cover and take a look at. We're very interested in going through and researching and looking up things. It's a fun pastime.
Yeah, we're going to have a Facebook page for this, I believe. And also another way you can reach us, besides finding us on Random Games, we're also, of course, part of GameRumors.net, which is the forum that I run. And everyone's welcome to join that, of course, and we're always on there. And we also do streams and everything like that. And I believe we all have our streams linked on GameRumors. But if they're not, we'll probably link them somewhere.
You can always message us. We're not frightening.
Exactly. Except when I'm angry. But I don't get angry very often.
It's true.
So it's okay.
She's like the Hulk in that sense.
Yeah.
The trick
except
is,
you're not always
she's
angry.
Always angry.
I turn purple, not green.
Starbound, anyone?
Oh my gosh.
Alrighty, well, this has been week one of our Game Rumors podcast, and thank you guys for joining us.
And we look forward to seeing you next week.